Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The reason that the proposal is so absurd is that it actually would let beverages like Tropicana orange juice, which contain 165 calories per 12 ounces, not be taxed, whereas a product such as my tangerine, which is 50% juice and has only 100 calories, it would be taxed because we don't have a minimum of 70% juice.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Now, some of Brian's listeners may recognize that clip. That's Liz Morrill, owner of the Fizzy Lizzy Soda Company, a small local soda company. She called into our show last December when Governor Patterson proposed a tax on sugary drinks. Morrill argued on the show that her drinks would be taxed because they didn't contain enough fruit juice, while other drinks would avoid the tax even if they had a much higher caloric content. And it wasn't just on the Brian Lehrer show that Fizzy Lizzy made the argument. A few weeks ago, Liz Morrill was up in Albany talking to state senators about the soda tax. Take a listen to a bit of that testimony and see if this argument sounds familiar.
The tax, if you look carefully at the language of the statute, is completely arbitrary, irrational, littered with very outdated exemptions that altogether make for a bill that's not going to be effective.
Among the people Liz Morrill was testifying before was State Senator Liz Krueger, Democrat from Manhattan. And she joins us now to discuss the effect of the testimony and the latest thinking on the soda tax. Senator Krueger, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, as a mother, I have to tell you, this is a very important conversation for us to be having. Governor Patterson has admitted late last week that the soda tax may actually not have much of a future after all. So from one Lizzie to another, did Fizzy Lizzie's testimony up there in Albany have a big impact? Is there new thinking on how the tax might be structured? What's the future?
Great. Well, I do think that the owner of Fizzy Lizzy did an excellent job of making the point that not all liquids are the same or different based on the name on the bottle. So she made the argument that she was not opposed to a tax on products that were, in fact, unhealthy or less healthy, but that she thought we ought to have a fair and equitable system for determining that tax. And the proposal, as was originally made by the governor, didn't meet that test. And I think she did an excellent job of educating us to the fact that not all sodas or diet sodas are created equal.
Well, as a citizen, this is very refreshing, pardon the pun. How often is it that someone's testimony can really change minds in Albany?
You know, I'm a big believer in public transparency of government and more participation. So I'd like to believe that this one story of that one testifier can and should be replicated regularly. Now, it is also important to understand that we are in an economic downturn, to say the least, that the state of New York has a serious fiscal hole in our budget for the coming year. And we, in fact, need to explore all kinds of options for decreasing our expenses and increasing our revenues. But having said that, great, let's throw proposals out there. Kudos to the governor and his people for thinking about the role of taxation in public health policy. And now, in my opinion, let's evaluate how we might do this in a different way.
And you say you enjoy participation, so why don't we encourage our listeners to participate? If you have any questions for State Senator Liz Krueger on the soda tax, or I guess any other matters in front of the New York State Senate, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Now, Senator, the original Patterson proposal would put an 18% tax on soda and other sugary drinks containing less than 70% fruit juice. Let's talk about this as a policy matter before we talk specifically about whether or not that is the right approach. Why does it matter so much about the content in these beverages?
Well, If you listen to the public health experts, as I did when the commissioner of health for the state of New York, Dr. Danes, testified in favor of this tax, they will talk to you and explain to you that the quantity of sugar and corn syrup in any number of the drinks that both adults and children are frequently drinking in large quantity have incredibly high calorie count. And in fact, the research shows that these sugary drinks have a very significant impact on weight gain and obesity, particularly among children. You mentioned you were a mother, and so you fully understand the importance of what goes in your children's mouth and what doesn't go in their mouth.
Sure, sure. And we don't always think about the content. We think it's juice. We therefore think it's healthy. And we actually have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that Fizzy Lizzie presented to you in Albany, and she highlights the fact that, let's look at Welch's grape juice, that has 255 calories, 100 more calories than a can of Coke. So why then, Senator, didn't the original Patterson proposal talk about fruit juice?
Well, again, I don't want to speak for the governor. I think what's important as a legislator is our job is to influence the outcome of the various proposals made by the governor, by his Department of Budget, by others. So I think the proposal that was made by the Fizzy Lizzie owner was that we should evaluate on the per ounce of sugar or the quantity of sugar in a total drink. I think it's a very interesting idea. It actually ties directly into another piece of legislation we're working on in relationship to the budget, the expansion of the bottle bill. Again, why is a carbonated drink something that needs to be recycled when a non-carbonated drink that might in fact have the exact same calories, might be the exact same products you and I are talking about today, not have a recycling requirement? You know, why do we have arbitrary rules about, is it a bottle of water? Is it a bottle of iced tea? Is it a bottle with carbonation? And even if the bottles are identical, only the one with a carbonated product in it currently is a recyclable deposit bottle in the New York State system. Explain that one to me. I can't explain that.
Nor can I. And I don't envy you having to figure that one out, Senator Liz Krueger.
But I want to figure that out. I want the public to figure it out. I want a bigger, better bottle bill that will bring more bottles back into our recycling system, will decrease the amount of waste in our landfills, and will bring through the unclaimed deposits money into our environmental protection fund to be used to improve our environment statewide. I think it's a win-win for everyone, but that also requires changing the current rules to be more rational.
We actually, Senator, have a call about where some of the money would go in these various proposals. Let's take this call. Michael from Queens, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome. Thank you. I had wanted to speak to the point of, let's say, a sort of adaptive taxation which takes into consideration the impact that products would have at a given point in time on society in terms of how we're using it. Diane Sawyer's recent expose on the role of Mountain Dew in creating all sorts of health problems, especially dental problems for people in Appalachia, points out that, yes, these products can contribute to public health problems. Now, if the taxation was small and if it was utilized to substitute, let's say, the public health system that we're all going to try to institute, it seems, as well as perhaps subsidizing healthier alternatives, perhaps it could be useful. And then if this sort of policy was reviewed every 5 years or so by doctors and dentists and whatever parts of the health profession are reviewing the impact these drinks and our usage of them have on society, we could adapt the taxation system so that we could take the resources where we're going a little bit too far, causing problems, use it to offset the health problems that they cause, as well as subsidizing healthy alternatives, because a lot of the natural and healthy alternatives are oftentimes more expensive. So they naturally push people, especially in poorer neighborhoods, towards making choices that are not as healthy for them.
Senator Krueger, Michael has certainly thought through the issues. Your response?
Well, I appreciate his comments. I was, in fact, reading a paper this morning in preparation for coming on the show by two economists. It was on called Optimal Syntaxes. But in fact, they were talking about exactly what Michael was talking about. Can you use your tax system in what they call behavioral economics to change people's buying patterns for the betterment of their own personal health and, in fact, from the tax revenue potentially improving the public health overall? That's not so different than the decisions that we've made in the state and the city over the last few years to increase the taxes on cigarettes. And I can name any number of elected officials who have said, if, in fact, we raise no new revenue over time from increased cigarette taxes because the win from the increased taxes is to discourage people from smoking, therefore decreasing the number of cigarettes that are sold, that will be a public good in its own right, even if, in fact, we don't make any money. And I think that even though I do think the original proposal was flawed, the sugar soda tax model is attempting to go down that same road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With a good policy purpose, although perhaps I liked your question about barcoding in the hearing. I listened to a part of it, and it does seem that modern technology might allow us to be less arbitrary when we try to affect these very right-minded policy goals. We have similarly a call from Mary Ellen in Brooklyn about diet soda. Mary Ellen, welcome to the show. You have a question or a comment for Senator Krueger.
Yes, I'm just concerned that the governor's proposed bill would encourage the consumption of sodas with aspartame in them. And
Diet sodas.
Yeah, like a lot of them have aspartame in them. I know Red Bull does and other things too. And there's a book by Russell Blaylock called Excitotoxins, and it's about this family of chemicals, MSG, monosodium glutamate, aspartame. They're all classified as excitotoxins, and they're all suspected in creating brain lesions in the brain.
Well, Senator, it seems to me that if you don't just drink water, you're going to be in big trouble, and even then the environmentalists come and get you for the bottle.
Well, you know, I think this caller also has a very valid point of, you know, how are we evaluating the health quality of the products that we drink? And there certainly are any number of scientists who have argued that diet sodas also lead to health problems. She was raising a particular ingredient in certain diet sodas. The just whole use of overconsumption of carbonated beverages with chemicals in them of many different types have been raised as health issues, which again goes back to the question of how do we target a tax correctly when you're trying to make the determination of are you impacting behavior of the public to help them decrease, bad patterns of usage versus revenue for the state versus, of course, the third alternative, just outlaw certain items, which I, as a state legislator, both am hesitant to want to run down the road of outlawing many, many products that someone thinks are bad for you, both recognizing that probably should be at the federal level for 50 states at a time, but also knowing that you could have a whole other radio show with me, with people calling in, I think probably in much greater numbers, what you want to outlaw all these products. But these are the delicate balances between what's in the public interest, how can you impact through your tax policies the behavior of the public, and how do you deal with the fundamental question of raising revenue. You're right, I talked about barcoding the drinks for the sales tax at the hearing, but I've later on been exploring an excise tax on the manufacturer instead of a sales tax on the retailer, which also might be a fairer way to do these taxes without having a negative impact on particular kinds of retail.
And I must say, we have had a lot of calls on this, although I agree with you, if we talk about outlawing, we might have double the number of calls. But there is one caller I do have to give an opportunity to speak, because Liz Morrill, Fizzy Lizzie, is actually on the line, and how could we not take her call? Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, how are you?
We are terrific.
Well, thank you very, very much for having me, and thank you for having Senator Krueger, if I can say that. And Senator Krueger, thank you so much for your really, really nice remarks. You know, all I can say is I am so impressed that with the process that the legislature allowed me to participate in You know, we are a tiny mom-and-pop company. We have no lobbying budget, but I, you know, I was able to get an appointment to testify. The members of the committees were incredibly open-minded and gracious, and this is democracy in action, and I was incredibly impressed. It made me very proud to be a New Yorker, and, you know, I am thrilled that that hopefully a more fair, uniform, and rational methodology will be developed. I think it's we've got to tackle our weight problem, and I'm all for that. And I trust that you guys up in Albany will figure out a methodology that's fair.
Well, I cannot think of a better way to end the segment than on such a positive note. Certainly speaks well of your body, Liz Krueger, Senator.
Well,
thank you so much.
I want to thank Liz Morrow for coming to Albany, and she did. What she didn't say is she waited an entire day. I think she was the last testifier at the health hearing, which went for at least 12 hours. But it's true. She captured all of our attention as the final testifier of the evening, highlighting, you know, we weren't necessarily thinking this through correctly, and there were alternatives, and I really appreciate that.
Democracy in action. Well, thank you very much, Liz Morrow, for calling in, and, of course, to our guest, Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan. Well, nice talking with you, and we'll talk with you again soon. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and we'll be right back.